All right. Well, good morning again as we continue in our series, Waste Management. Didn't they do an awesome job? It was great to see. Yeah. It's good to see the kids making a joyful noise and future worshipers here at Castle Baptist Church. And what a great job that they are doing. Just to let you know that they have a service of their own running congruently with this one. They go in just like we do. They spend some time in song, and then they have a lesson, and then the one thing that you guys don't have, that which you did have, was the snack. So maybe we can work that out for you. And so we'll see what we can do on that. And no, the Lord's Supper is not a snack. So we're going to be in Psalms 19:14 this morning, kind of launching off there as we continue in week number 3 of waste management. And as we have talked first and foremost about not wasting our life, a big picture of what it looks like to be on mission with God as we kind of head into this new year. And then last week we talked about not wasting your time, not in the sense of squeezing every moment out, but really just this idea that God has given us once again a mission to do and only so much time. And so we want to be effective, not so much efficient, but effective. And I hope maybe this past week, some of the things we talked about, you put into practice. And then ultimately what we're going to do today is talk about something that every single one of us, I know that I do on a regular basis, would be is when it comes to our relationships in our life. And this one is about don't waste your relationships, especially in your life. And there's a real challenge to do that sometimes, because the reality is this: as we look at God's Word, as we look at just really our lives and understanding what is going on, is that ultimately we come to the conclusion and an understanding that we're all different, right? I mean, God made each one of us unique. He gave us, different looks and different abilities and all these things. And so sometimes I think we work so hard to try to be alike that we fall into this trap that if there's anything that goes wrong with our communication and with conflict, that that's necessarily a bad thing all the time. And the reality is, it's just a part of life. And so when I begin to think about this idea of, when it comes to being different, so many times in my life and in yours, it comes really down to two things. It comes down to communication, communicating effectively in a relationship, and then ultimately conflict in a relationship. And those two things so many times can go hand in hand as we look. And I thought about, somebody that might have a better shot at understanding someone perfectly, because I know when it comes to humans and to humanity, that's so tough. And so I was reminded this past summer that as we took a team to Belarus, I took on that trip with me some twins. Here's a picture of Zoe and Presley Smith as we are on this trip. And I thought to myself, listen, what's going to be so great about having twins is, I mean, they've shared everything. They shared birth together. I mean, they shared birthdays together. They share life together. So if anybody should be the same or similar or be able to get along perfectly, it should be twins, right? No. Now listen, they were awesome. But it didn't take me long to figure out that they are two different people. And even identical twins, you will say, that they do share a special bond. And I know that these two girls do. But they're just the challenge, the fact that we are different. And listen, I think that today we need to talk about some of those differences, especially when it comes to communication and dealing with conflict. And so listen, every great relationship is built upon good communication. It's like the lifeblood of the relationship. It's the thing that keeps it going. And listen, there's nothing worse than being misunderstood, and there's nothing greater than being understood, right? I mean, it really is. It's the thing that happens in the relationship. And so today we're really just going to kind of address two questions that come up a lot. One of it is, how can I communicate better? How can I make sure that the people in my life, the relationships in my life, understand what I'm saying? Because it is such a great challenge when it comes to relationships and can ultimately lead to where there's a misunderstanding and conflict. Matter of fact, the stats will show us staggering results. And so here's some stats. 50% of wives say that my husband does not talk with me enough. Half. Isn't it interesting that there's a 50% divorce rate in our country as well, probably higher than that even now. But 50% of wives say that husbands do not talk to them enough. What do we see? We see that 86% of divorces say that we just could not communicate. We just couldn't come together and begin to understand. And then on this last one, I'm going to ask you to play along a little bit. It says that married couples on average talk how many minutes per day on average? So turn to your neighbor and tell them, what do you think? How many minutes a day on average do you think your spouse will talk? I know I'm going to get you guys in trouble on this one, especially if you're there with your spouse. We'll talk about marriage later. We're just setting you up for another sermon. That's right. What'd you say? He's right. It's not every 4 minutes, but it's only 4 minutes a day. Only 4 minutes a day is the average that a married couple has a genuine conversation, not just in passing. It's pretty amazing. So we have a huge challenge with communication. Wouldn't you agree? So many times. And so here's what I want to do today. We're going to look to God's Word to find some principles that can help us with communications and then ultimately help us when it comes to conflict, how we will resolve these things. And I know for me, one of the things, I want to be a good communicator. I want to get a message across to my wife, to my family, those within my realm of influence in my life. And so if you want to write these down, please take notes, because the very first thing of how we communicate better according to God's Word is that we have to be slow to speak. We have to be thoughtful in what we say. Not just going. And so we kind of start with Psalms 19:14. Here's what it says. It says that may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want you to notice a couple of words in there that are key. And here's what I want you to do. If you will or willing to write in your Bible, circle or underline these words. Words are so important. And the word and then underline heart. You see, those two things go hand in hand when it comes to the things that come out of my mouth ultimately flow out of my heart. And so, you know, David, as he's writing this psalm, if you go back to read the entire thing, and I encourage you to do that, go back and read the entire psalms, because he starts off, it's interesting, he starts off by saying, God, your creation speaks to us. It's communicating perfectly the glory by which you are there. And then he moves into this just worshiping God and saying, you are so great and so awesome. And then he ends the psalm by wrapping it up and saying, what does that mean to me? It means that as I think about how you communicate, then ultimately I want to be careful about my words. I want it to be a flowing out of my heart. And so we have to be slow to speak. And so here's how this works. Before you speak, check your heart. Check your heart. Because I know for me, so many times I can fly off and begin to say things and listen, if I checked my heart before I began to speak, I would have stopped and said, no, wait a minute. That doesn't line up with what God would want me to say. That doesn't line up with the heart of love and grace that God has given me through His Son Jesus. It would stop me in my tracks. And so we have to be slow to speak. But then we have to be able to speak, when we're talking about communicating better, we speak their language from our heart. You see, if our heart is in the right place, then I have to begin to think about how am I going to communicate this thing that I want to say, but I've got to put it in a language that they understand, because just throwing it out there, just hoping that it sticks, or just throwing it out there and hoping that they get it, listen, as a communicator, and you as a communicator in the relationship, we have to realize that we may have to say it in a way that speaks to their heart, to their language. You see, if God wants to be pleased with what I'm going to say, then I have to figure out how are they going to hear it? How are they going to understand? And how are they going to receive it? But listen, the reality is that when we do this, we have to assume something. We just talked about the fact that we are all different, right? Sometimes we go into the assumption that everybody's just like me and thinks, just like me, I have to go into it. You have to go into the relationship realizing that we are all different and there's nothing wrong with that. We all like different things. We all do different things. We all eat different things. We are different. We think about things in a different way. And not only are we different shapes and sizes, but we also react and receive communication differently, and we react and go through conflict differently. And this is why God's Word speaks to it, because it gives us some rules, some guardrails by which we can communicate well, and we can then ultimately have conflict well. And you say, wait a minute, that's weird. Having conflict well? If you think that conflict is not a natural part of life, then you are fooling yourself. There's nothing wrong with conflict. Conflict is just a natural part of the fact that we are all different. And so here's what I want you to get. Some of us are so different in how we approach communication and just how we are in general. As a matter of fact, how many of you have ever read the novel War and Peace? Wow. People with too much time on their hands. No, I'm just kidding. This is a huge book. As a matter of fact, it has 460,000 words in it. That's a lot. It's one of the largest novels in American history. Did you know that some of you are like War and Peace? And when it comes to anything, you ask a question, you're going to get a novel. Ask one little thing, every detail you're going to get. And listen, that's the way God made you, because you're different than other people. And when it comes to communicating, you know, sometimes you're talking to somebody and before you know it, they just want the basics, but what do you get? You get War and Peace. How many of you would admit that you're a War and Peace kind of person? Okay. A few hands. All right. Some of you are like this next group. You're the Cliff Notes. The Cliff Notes to War and Peace. It's 100 words. It just gives you just give me the facts. As Sergeant Friday would say, just the facts. Just the facts, bam. And when it comes to anything, you just say, get to the bottom line. I don't need to hear the whole novel. Just tell me what's going to happen. How many of you would say that you are a Cliff Notes kind of person? Now, what's interesting is I see that some of you are married to each other. This could be a challenge. Like I said, we'll get on the marriage sermon as soon as we can. But what I'm trying to point out to you is this. We're different, aren't we? When it comes to how we communicate, how God has made us. But God's Word gives us really kind of some guidelines by which we can go. And here's what it says in Colossians 4:6, when we're talking about the fact that we should speak the language from their heart, from their language in and from your heart should be something they understand. Here's what it says in 4:6. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That last part, what it says is that you are full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you can understand how best to answer them, how best to communicate with them. Because we don't want to waste that relationship. These are relationships that God has placed in our life. And listen, conflict is a natural part, but God says, listen, conflict should not be the norm in our life, especially as followers of Christ. So it comes down to the fact that there's a language by which they can understand. Listen, when I think about this in the context of my relationships, I think about when I go to a foreign country, to the country of Belarus, and we go into the city. And so we're surrounded by Russian-speaking people. I speak just enough Russian to get in trouble. But other than that, I don't know what they're saying. And when you end up in the middle of a group of people speaking Russian and you're the only one who speaks English, suddenly you begin to feel smothered and you begin to feel almost nervous, and you just feel like if I had to communicate, there's nobody that would understand a word that is happening to me. But listen, I remember we were, you know, as Americans, we're always going to go to McDonald's, right? So we're in McDonald's in Minsk, and we're standing in line, and I hear a sea of just just words that are rushing, and all of a sudden I hear out of nowhere someone saying, "Hey, I think I'll get a Big Mac." And immediately I'm like, and you just lock in. You know, suddenly you hear words that you understand and joy in your heart, and you're like, they speak English. Especially when you've been out of the country for a week. Listen, I just wonder how many relationships in our lives, how many families, they're in there together and they're speaking different languages. And suddenly when the language that they understand, it's just like standing in a McDonald's hearing English for the very first time. Because suddenly it speaks to their heart. And as a communicator, as someone who's concerned about that relationship, we have to begin to think, how can I speak what I'm trying to say in a way that they understand? And Colossians tells us it should be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. These relationships that are in there. Just so that you'll know, husbands, let me just give you a little tidbit. When it comes to helping and understanding, and this is one of the most romantic things you can say to your wife. When she's talking to you and when she pauses, here's what you say, guys. This will help you. And then what happened? I'm telling you, it will help your relationship. That's free of charge. I'm not going to charge anything for that. But what do? We say we speak the language from your heart, but then what do? We then want to speak words of life. It's so easy sometimes when it comes to our relationships and when it comes to communication in our lives that we can turn into where we are speaking words of death. You see, as someone who cares for that relationship, who doesn't want to waste that relationship, I want to make sure that I'm speaking the language they understand, but I want to speak words. And so to communicate well, I have to ask this question. Do the words that I say encourage and bless the other person? The things that come out of my mouth on a consistent basis, are they negative? Are they cutting? Or are they a blessing? Do they build up? You see, the reality is that in Proverbs 18:21, here's what it says about our tongue. And the Bible has a lot to say about our tongue. There are many things that could have been said. Even in the book of James, talks about a tongue like a flame that starts a forest fire. But here's what it says in Proverbs 18:21. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." In other words, what it's saying is that when you speak life into someone's life, they eat it up like fruit. But here's what I want you to get. You can either speak life or you can speak death. So what does that mean? We have a choice. As I begin to slow and think about slow to speak, and as I want to speak their language, then I have a choice then whether out of coming out of my heart is going to be death or life when it comes to communication. See, it's so clear that we should be speaking life into our relationships. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look back at all these. Right now in the middle of the sermon, we're going to do an application. And so look back. Maybe you're someone who needs to begin to speak slowly, to think about what you're going to say. Maybe you're someone who needs to think about and speak the language that they understand from your heart in the relationships that you have in your life. Or maybe you're someone who needs to speak words of life. I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, check the box mentally in your mind that it's something that you know that God is asking you to work on. Now, let me just ask you something. If you be willing, if you realize there's one of those that you need to work on, would you raise your hand? Almost 100%. I raise my hand along with that. Because communication is one of those things, because ultimately it leads to the fact that with poor communication and misunderstandings lead to conflict. And like I said, conflict is a natural part of life. The fact that we are different makes the fact that ultimately we are not always going to see eye to eye. That we have different things that we enjoy, different things that are going on. And so, you know, so many times, you know, we have this myth of compatibility, that we have to be compatible all the time. Matter of fact, I hear people and they'll say, oh, this person's so wonderful. We're just so compatible. You know, whenever we're together, we're just lockstep. And here's what I would say. I would say, you are not compatible. You just haven't been with that person long enough for them to get on your nerves. We're not compatible. We're different. God made us that way. And so, the question is, how do we handle conflict then? If it's a natural part of life, and we're not compatible, like so many times that we think we are, the reality is we have to work at being compatible, don't we? We have to look to what God's Word says. And so listen, when it comes to handling conflict, listen, the best thing that we can do according to God's Word is that we can resolve it as soon as possible. If there's a disagreement, then we take care of it. We handle it. We don't let it continue on. And so listen, once again, we're different, right? All of us handle conflict differently. As a matter of fact, just another poll here. Let me show you a picture. And really, this picture is just because I just enjoy looking at cars. But this is a pretty cool car. And, for pastor appreciation next year. No, I'm just kidding. But this is called a Bugatti. Has anybody ever seen this car before? Yeah. It's a pretty amazing car. As a matter of fact, they have reached a 1,200 horsepower threshold. It will go from 0 to 60 in 2.4 seconds. Now, why you'd want to do that, I don't know. But it will do it. It is just an amazing car. And so, top end is 256 miles per hour. I mean, just, you're asking to go to heaven when you drive this thing. And so, listen, when it comes to this, so many of us, when it comes to conflict, we just want it over, right? We don't want to deal with it. We're like, all right, so there's problems here. All right, let's hash them out. Let's move on. How many of you be like that? Just get it done. When it comes to conflict, you're a Bugatti car. And that's the way God made you. Nothing wrong with that. But some of you are like this next car. It's a smart car. You can put this car in your pocket. Let me just give you stats on this car. This car is pretty amazing. It goes from 0 to 60 in 2 minutes. With a top end of 54 miles an hour. It just moves along. And sometimes when it comes to conflict, there are those we just want to take it slow and we want to hash out every detail. And we want, do we want to sit down and talk? And we want to re-talk. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to talk about those things. But how many of you would identify that you are like a little smart car when it comes to conflict? Okay, I see some of you are embarrassed to admit it. So, or you're just too slow to get your hand up. I don't know. So, either way. The point is this. We are all different. We're different in how we handle it. But God's Word gives us a guideline when it comes to conflict. Whether you are a Bugatti or a smart car, there is a time period by which God's Word says, take care of conflict. And it's 24 hours. From the time that you realize something is happening, it's 24 hours. What do we read? Ephesians 4:26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So whether you take care of it in the first part of the day or the last part of the day, you have 24 hours according to God's Word to take care of it. Because listen, there's this myth sometimes that time heals wounds, that time heals. Let me just tell you something, that is not true. If you let conflict just continue to fester and to go, guess what happens? It doesn't get better. It just gets deeper and bigger and harder, and it gets buried into bitterness and anger and ultimately causes you to do and me to do crazy things. God says, listen, don't do that. Whether you are someone who is different and like it fast or slow, take care of your conflict quickly before the sun sets. And so this, as we look at conflict, we resolve it as quick as possible. But listen, when it comes to resolving it, we have to consider their perspective. I know for me sometimes when I am thinking about something that's not lining up with me or whatever, I've got my case down pat, right? I've got everything I can do to go against, you know, what they're saying. But here's what I would say to you. That if you can restate the case of the other person to their satisfaction, you are this close to having conflict resolved. If you can restate whatever their concern is to the point to where they go, yes, that's it. I agree with what you just said. Then what you've done now is you can state both perfectly their case and also your case as well. And what you may find is that you're not that far off. And so ultimately, we want to consider their perspectives. Matter of fact, Proverbs 18:13, here's what it says. It says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Isn't it so easy when someone's talking to you and explaining something? I know for me it is. I'm formulating my response. I'm not listening to what they're saying. I'm not considering and trying to mull over and do, you know, to be slow to speak, as we've already talked about. I'm not even considering what they're saying because I just want to respond and I want to win. See, the ultimate goal is that we want to not waste this relationship. We want to restore it. This is what the picture of what God has done for us is, a restoration of relationships. And so in doing that, we have to learn to fight fair. You see, God's Word gives us some rules about how to fight. Did you know that? Now, how many of you like UFC fighting? I wasn't sure anybody would raise their hand. So, UFC fighting, man, I don't know. It just looks like there's no rules. They just get in a cage and just beat each other to death. But did you know that they have rules? One, you can't break your opponent's finger. Well, isn't that nice? That when the opponent's on the floor, you can't kick them in the stomach. No low blows. There's a number of rules that take place. And even in the most, what seems like the most brutal fighting, there are rules. And listen, when it comes to fighting, God says, listen, there are rules by which you can go, because conflict is a natural part of life, because we are all what? We're different. We're different. And so what does it say? Ephesians 4:29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. There's rules. When you're in conflict, no unwholesome talk. No unwholesome talk. But only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, right? Thinking about their, where they are, that it may benefit those who listen. What are we talking about here? Communication and conflict, because those two things go hand in hand. And listen, when it comes to fighting, I'm going to tell you a few things, and let me just tell you something. I shouldn't have to say these, but I'm going to say it. But there are rules. For example, no hitting. If you're hitting somebody in your relationship, stop. Just stop. Sometimes we think it's the man, but let me tell you something. There are women who beat up men all the time in relationships. Just stop it. There's no place for it. No threats. Conflict is natural, but I'm going to tell you what, no threats in that marriage or any of the relationship. And let me just tell you something, in a marriage, please don't throw the divorce word around like it's nothing. Don't use it as a threat against the other person. Well, if I don't get my way, then I'm going to divorce you and try to do that. Just don't do it. Listen, no unwholesome talk while you are dealing with the conflict, which is a natural part of life. That's what we see, no divorce, no vulgarity, no cussing, and no belittling. Because all you're going to do when you're resolving a conflict, you want to get to a place of resolution. And let me just tell you something. In the midst of resolving something else, you can start a whole nother conflict. And before you know it, you got three conflicts going. And at some point, you just throw up your hands and say, it's over. Listen, that's not what God wants. He wants communication done well, and He wants the resolution of the conflict done in a way. And so there are rules. Nothing wrong when you talk about, listen, we're going to talk about this, but let me just note, going into it, no hitting, no vulgar words, no belittling. And the D word is off limits, because we're committed to each other. We're committed to make this work out. Because we all have conflict, don't you? I know Melinda and I do. We do. Just like every married couple, just like every person on planet Earth. But we have decided we're not going to follow. We're going to follow the rules that we've placed right here. And so, in light of all of that, we have to begin to understand something when it comes to communication and when it comes to conflict. And here's what I want you to understand, is that all these things are good, but the bottom line of these, to understand sometimes why the things that are going on, is that we have to understand that we are fighting a real enemy, and it's not the person you're in conflict with. You see, we are fighting a spiritual battle. That things that are happening that we can't even understand, and there is a real devil, and there are real demons, and there is a real system by which they are fighting against the church of Jesus Christ to tear apart families, to tear apart churches, all those things. And many times we lose sight of the fact that we are in spiritual warfare within our own church and within our own marriages and with our own friends. And so we are fighting a real enemy. Ephesians 6:12, here's what it says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an enemy, a real enemy, that is fighting against us, who wants our relationships to be shredded and torn apart, who wants your walk as a Christian to be tainted by what you say and by what you do, your marriage to be pulled apart, this church to be pulled apart, all the things that he wants, nothing that is good. And so many times as we think about that, listen, I'm not saying the devil is behind every rock, but what I am saying is this. I'm saying that there is a real force by which we can understand is going against us. And it's as we put the truth of God's Word and the power of God in our life and follow the principles that God has given us, we can say, no, I'm not going to follow that way. And so you probably listen to this and you're like, you know, that's great. You've given some principles, and listen, Ron, I'm gonna write these down, and I'm gonna try harder, and I'm gonna work on my relationship. But listen, there are some of you that are sitting here today and you're just saying, listen, it's hopeless for me. You don't know what's going on in that relationship. And so the conflict or the differences is too great. There's too big of a gap. I just don't know how we could ever come together. Either side could come together. And some of you are just thinking, man, it seems hopeless. Here's what I would say to you. Is that in that moment, for me and for you, sometimes we have to give up on the conflict and focus on the person. We have to give up on being right and realize that the relationship matters more than just being right. And how do we know this? We know this because that's what God did for us. You see, we should seek reconciliation instead of resolution when it just seems hopeless. And every single one of us sometimes think it's just too wide. But here's the reality. If we take the problem off center stage and we put the individual back on center stage, we begin to see them differently. We begin to think differently about, and you say, how can we do that? The only way you can do that is through the power of Christ in your life, because left unto our own desires, wants, and our own ability, guess what? We're going to stay in the fight as long as we can. But when we really begin to focus upon Jesus and understand that Jesus sought reconciliation instead of resolution, because here's the reality. Here's the truth for you and for me. That because of sin, we were separated from God. And that was a problem greater than we could fix. There was no resolution for that on our own. It seemed hopeless. And let me just tell you something. Jesus left heaven and took on earth because he cared more about the relationship than he did about resolving that problem, because he went to the cross and took our penalty so that we could have a relationship with him. You see, we couldn't fix it so that we could get to God. Jesus came and said, listen, I'm going to take the problem off the center of the stage and I'm going to put you in the middle because I died for you on the cross. You see, when it comes to our relationships, so many times I have to remember of what God has done for me and the grace and the mercy by which he has given me and the forgiveness and the second and third and fourth and fifth and 100 chances that he's given me. when the problems are too great to resolve. So what do we see? We see in Ephesians 2:14 that Jesus talks about. Paul talks about something that Jesus has done for us. And let me just say this. If it seems like there's conflict in your life all the time and you have no peace in your life and it just seems like there's so much turmoil, let me just tell you something, that perhaps this next verse should speak into your heart and say that Jesus is either not the center or Jesus is not in that life. Because here's what Jesus does for us. He says, "For He Himself is our peace." And He says, "Who has made the two groups one." You see what I'm saying here? It's the peace. It's the relationship God can bring two things that seem like they can't fit together into one. And what does He say? He says, "And has destroyed the barrier, that the dividing wall of hostility." Now, in this passage, Paul is talking about salvation. But it's a conflict. It's the thing that is driving a wedge between two groups. And listen, what He's saying here is, He says, for Him, He's our peace. He's the one that we can look to. Because here's the reality. We're all different, right? Even as a church, we're all different. We have different likes and desires, and we have all things going on. Even in our personal life, in our relationships, we're all different. And that's a good thing. We all communicate differently. We all hear things differently. We all handle conflict differently, but looking at what God's Word has says, there are guidelines. But here's the most important thing. That as individuals, and really more corporately as a church, we may never be unified on everything, but we should be unified on one thing, and that is Jesus. That is His plan and His purpose for our lives. It is the mission by which He has given us. He has commissioned this body to be ministers of reconciliation in this world. And though we have conflict, though we may be ununified in certain things, we should be unified upon His mission and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, we're never going to be 100% compatible. Do you get that? We're all different. Some of us are smart cars. Some of us are Bugattis. Some of us are War and Peace. Some of us are Cliff Notes. But God has called us all together under the power of the Holy Spirit, unified in the purpose and the mission by which God has given us. So let's pray together. I don't know what God is doing here. You can look back at each one of these and realize that maybe you're struggling in communication. Maybe there's a conflict in your life that you need to get with somebody and resolve it quickly. And you can start today by praying about that. Or maybe you just need to pray that you can begin to see it in their perspective, to be able to explain it on their other side. And maybe it's just the fact that you need to fight fair and you're doing things in your relationships that you shouldn't be doing. I don't know what it is. Maybe today you just need to get on your knees before God and say, "God, help me to love others the way You help them, because it seems hopeless and too far apart. But God, I want to love them like You love them. I want my communication and relationships. I don't want to waste my relationships. I don't want to live a wasted life." Let's pray together, and then when I'm done praying, that'll be your opportunity to respond, however it is that God leads. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You.